It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, Book of Matthew, chapter 19, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
Here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is coming to the place beyond the Jordan. The great multitude followed him. And the word of God says, and he healed them there. Now you see great multitude following Christ. And when he's praying for those people, he has to be busy. I have seen when I'm praying for people, sometimes it takes whole night of work until the people stop lining up. Now here the people are coming and Jesus Christ is praying for them. People are getting healed. People are happy. And here comes the Pharisees and asking Jesus Christ a question. And the word of God says, tempting him. Means they just ask the question to just harass him or just try to find out what he says. Is he going against the Mosaic law? Or is he saying according to the law? They just wanted to find out. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Means for any reason. Let's read verse 4.
And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Now he's trying to tell them how God created man and what was the God's commandment to the mankind. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Now he says God created man according to his image and he created them male and female. Genesis 5:2.
Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created.
Now here the word of God is saying, even the male and female God created them. In the God's eyes and the God's mind, they were all equal. And so he named them Adam. Adam means mankind. In the eyes of God, they were all equal. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
This is the command God gave it to Adam. Husband and wife, they have to leave mother and father's house, get a separate place, and leave. In those days, if they have a bigger house, they might be having single room somewhere as for separate. And so, important thing was, husband and wife should be together and nobody should interfere in their marriages. And that was the main idea behind it. Go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 5.
And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
Now here, Jesus Christ said, this is the way the commandment was. The man and woman should stay together and no one should separate them. Means no judge, no mother, father, family member or anybody twisting their mind and telling them to be separate. Then the people start saying, then why Moses gave us the commandment, you can divorce?
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so.
because of the hardness of your heart. Just read Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 to 4.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and to come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. Thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
See, there was a very strict law. If somebody get married, and the man says, I don't like my wife, she's doing something bad, she's unclean. He said, okay, give her a divorce. I mean, she get divorced, she married somebody else. And if that man says, I don't like you, your previous husband didn't like you, and now I don't like you, I give you a divorce. Then she cannot go back and ask, beg that first husband, can I come back? Or even her second husband dies. She was not allowed to go back to the first husband, because if she does, he said, the whole land will be polluted or the curse would come. And so God was saying to the man also, when you marry to somebody, you should not beat her or do not abuse her. And that was also strict law. Go to the Malachi chapter 2, verse 16.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously.
Even though God hates divorce, but at the same time he says, you cannot beat your wife, harass your wife. That is wrong, and we should not be doing that. In New Testament he says, husband and wife, they are one unit, one body, one flesh. If the husband and wife, they want to be separated for some reason, he says only reason was given to be separated for prayer and fasting. And husband says, I'm going somewhere, and wife says, okay, I stay home. And many, many pastors, they do, keep the wife home and they go away for months and months. And that's why the families are destroyed. But the Bible says you cannot be separated only for prayer and fasting. And you should be united. And if you are fighting in the house, God says, I will not even answer your prayer. That is in 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay, 1 Peter 3:7. Okay.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
See, in Christianity, the Word of God says there is no male, no female. God gives honor to both equally, just like he made Adam and male and female and named them Adam. So in the eyes of God, man and woman, they are all equal. And once you are in Christ, then we are equal than without Christ. In the Old Testament, they always favor men. If the lady, they caught in prostitute or something doing wrong, and both people, they're supposed to bring, but they will bring only lady, and they beat her up and kill her. And Jesus Christ saw when the lady there brought to him, and they said, we caught her in adultery. Jesus didn't say, where is the man? You bought only the lady. But Jesus didn't say, where is the man and why you bringing lady? Because according to the Jewish law, they will punish the woman. Today also Muslim, they punish the lady, not the man. And so, but that changes in Christ. And so I tell these people, if you're suffering like that, why don't you be a Christian? Find a Christian husband, born again Christian, and your life will be much more better. Here the Word of God says you cannot even separate it. If you have fight or something like that, God will not ever answer your prayer. So God wants unity and togetherness. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Now in this verse, if you read, it says, if your wife is going after another man, then you can let her go. But at the same time he says, if some man marries her, then they both doing adultery. Somebody will say, I don't understand this. This is like this. Just think, one wife is married to one man and they are doing okay. And then she finds out somebody better than him. And then she starts going with him. And she is not telling husband. And husband finds out. And husband says, okay, I give you divorce. You like that man? Go with him. So what happens, even the husband gave her divorce, but still in the eyes of God, she is doing adultery. Because that's the man she was doing adultery when she was married. Even the husband says, go away, but still in the eyes of God, she was doing adultery with that man. That's why even though she marries, is adultery. And that's the way only we can understand. Otherwise, if that man was not in her life, the husband was beating her off and told her, if I'll kill you and this and that, and the lady divorced him, and then she marries to somebody which she didn't have any friendship before she got married with this man, or when she was married, then that's okay. But if she's married and having affair with somebody, and then they divorce the first husband and married to another man which she has friendship before she divorced, that is still adultery in the sight of God. Okay, verse 10.
His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry.
Now the people got scared. He said, if that's the way it is, we should not get married. And so what Jesus Christ say?
But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given.
Yeah, some people, they think it is not good to get married. And in this 21st century, what they chosen, I don't want to get married with wife, but I will have another partner. So I don't have to get married. I will not have children. And the ladies decided the same thing. And so they are thinking, we are not getting married. We are not producing children. But that is not the will of God either. But Jesus Christ is saying, if some man decided not to get married, it is not easy because the temptation will be there. And so he says there are three kinds of people, Matthew 19:12.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Now he said there are three kinds of people. One are born defectively, they cannot produce children, or they cannot get married. And another group of people, people make them. Now somebody says, how the people make somebody, they cannot have children. In the olden days, when they have kings, and if they keep any servants in their house, they will make them eunuch, means they cannot have sex with anybody in the kingdom, and people will be man-made eunuchs. Most of the time in a rich people's house or king's house, people work or cooking or doing some work, they used to make them eunuchs. And then some of them became eunuch, means not getting married or not having any desire, just like Catholic priests. This is what Jesus Christ said. But he says it's not easy because some people take the form of this kind of thing, means, oh, I am eunuch, I will not have wife. Many people are not specially dedicated. They just got into there with a sinful desire in their heart from the beginning. And so the Word of God says this is only God-given gift for some people. They can live without wives. Okay, verse 13, Matthew 19:13.
Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them.
children coming to Jesus Christ. Jesus loved the children, and children used to come to Jesus, and he used to even have like a Sunday school kind of thing. Children like Jesus Christ because he was loving and kind. You can look at his eyes and you feel love. And so children wanted to come, but the disciples start thinking these children are disturbing the service or disturbing the work what Jesus Christ is doing. So they said, oh, don't bring the children. But the parent says, we are bringing the children so Jesus Christ can take them in his hands and lay his hands on them and pray. But they said, no, Jesus Christ saw that and he answered them. Read verse 14.
But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.
Now see, in these two verses, if you just think about, first verse says Jesus wanted to bless them and lay hand and just pray for them. And the second verse says they belong to kingdom of God anyhow. But there are nominal Christians, they baptize babies. And why they baptize babies? I asked some of the scholars. They said, we baptize babies because in the Old Testament, God told Abraham to circumcise children when they were 8 days old. And that was the law, and everybody was circumcising their male child. Some scholars start thinking, instead of doing circumcision, we can baptize them. It is not in the Bible they should be baptizing, and Jesus only blessed them because they belong to the kingdom of God. But they start doing circumcision equivalent to baptism. And then I met some of the scholars and I told them, if you're doing the circumcision changing to baptism for the little babies, how about the little girls? Why are you baptizing little girl? Because in Mosaic law, they did not do circumcision for the girls. And then they don't have answer. But in the Bible, when you study about the water baptism, it's not our subject, but I'm just giving a little point. Jesus Christ says, first of all, you teach them and make them my disciples, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Person who wants to take baptism, that person has to have faith to believe. That person has to repent of his sins. And then he has to turn to God. And if that baby cannot do that, and baby doesn't have to do that. And there are other things. You cannot just dip somebody in the water without their permission. They have to know why they're taking baptism. And the person who baptized that person also should be born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then have authority to baptize somebody immersively. Otherwise, that baptism is useless. And that's why Jesus Christ said to his disciples, children should be just laid hand and pray. And so that's what we do. We dedicate children to the Lord. We never baptize baby until they come to the maturity and they know Jesus is their Savior. They repent of their sins and they want to turn away from the worldly thing and follow Christ. Those other people should be baptized. Okay, read verse 15.
And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
And then this person, when he heard these children belong to the kingdom of God, and so he thought, hey, if the children are going to go to heaven, I like to go to heaven. Now, what should I do to go to heaven? You are a good master, and what good things I should do that I will go to heaven? But Jesus Christ just simply said about commandment. But I will show it to you. Even though somebody did all the commandments, still that commandment will not make them perfect. And not only that, whatever the good works they do without Christ, that work is a filthy rag. Let's read in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
And he says, whatever we do, those things are not pleasing in the sight of God, and we are all going to fly away, means we'll be destroyed. Not a single person in the world can do good things without God. That's why this man came and said, good master. Jesus Christ says, why are you calling me good? There is only one good, and that is God. So indirectly, Jesus Christ was saying, you recognize me that I am a God, and I'm a good person. So there is not a single good person in the world. Then somebody says, everybody's evil. Yes. How it happened? Because the word of God says, when Adam committed sin, and we got the Adamic nature in our life. So even the person is born into this world like a babies, they are innocent. But as soon as they get mature, and they start knowing sin, good and bad, and then they start committing sin. There is no school in the world can teach people, there are now, teach people to do wrong. I was just listening today, one preacher was saying, there are schools now, they teach how to rob, they teach how to disobey parents, and they teach how to kill, and all kinds of schools are there. But in your house, you don't teach your children to lie. Some parents do, but you don't have to teach them. They will lie themselves because that's the nature of sin in their life. That's what the Bible says. There is not a single person righteous. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, what is saying? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you find me one person, that person says, I'm not a sinner. Each and every person is sinner. And I told you one time, one Hindu priest came and some Christian man introduced to me, this is the Hindu priest. They call a holy man in India. I said, sir, everybody calls you holy man and everybody calls you a good man. Do you lie sometime? He said, no, we don't lie. I said, I'll prove it to you, you lie. And he, even though when I told him, he should have controlled himself not to lie, but he lied. I only simply gave him example that you're standing in the circle, there are seven roads, and one road, the cow went away, and the man coming, and in his hand there is a knife, and he's asking you, where is the cow? What do you tell him? Now the cow is their God. And he knows somebody has the knife, he's going to cut the cow. So he said, if the cow went number one street, I will tell him she went number seven street. I say, is that a lie or truth? Is that a lie? But we have to tell the lie to save the person or save the animal. I said, sir, my Bible teaches Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. All liars will go to hell. So according to the word of God, you are going to go to hell, even the people call you holy man. Then he said, what you will do? I said, sir, it's very simple. If somebody asks me where is the cow and the man has the knife, first of all, I'll ask the man, why are you looking for a cow? If the man says, I bought the cow and I'm going to cut into pieces and then sell a meat and I'm a businessman. Okay. Then I will tell him, I know where the cow went, but I'm not going to tell you. But if this man says, I bought the new cow and I was cutting the onion and cow ran away, I need it for my baby's milk, so could you show it to me? If that man lies, I don't know he's telling the truth or not, but to give the baby milk, I will tell him to go and get the cow. This is the way the cow went. But if he said, I want to kill the cow, then I'm going to say, I'm not going to tell you. And the man says, I'm going to kill you if you don't tell. I said, sir, if you can kill me and find your cow, go ahead. And that's the way to tell the truth. And so the man was very surprised. And he said, in our religion, we can tell a lie. I said, in the Bible says yes, yes, no, no, more than that is lie. Not only that, though liars will go to hell. So the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this man is asking what good things I can do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, he says, God wanted mankind to do good things. Adam didn't do it. So what God thought, I will send my son and he will obey me. Jesus Christ is the obedient son. What the Father says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When did he say that? When he took the baptism. Baptism was the commandment. If Jesus could have said, I'm holy, I don't have to take baptism. Baptism is for the sinners. But he said, let it be. This is the commandment. Every man has to obey. I'm a man, so I'm going to obey this commandment. And as soon as he took baptism, coming out of the water, God says, I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son. So that means Jesus Christ told us how to obey and how to do good things. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Means God wanted us to do good things. People were not able to do. But now we can do good things in Christ. That means if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can please God. God gives you supernatural power to say no to sin. And that's what it is. Okay, go back to the Matthew chapter 19 and start reading from verse 17.
And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Now, he says, if you want to enter into the life, keep the commandment. And now then Jesus Christ gave some of the commandments. He did not give all the commandments. If you read in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the commandments are given like a 1 to 17. But Jesus Christ only gave him a 12 to 17 commandments. I'm not going there because time doesn't permit. So let's read verse 18.
He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
Now, verse 20, the young man says, what I am lacking? I did all this commandment from my childhood. Now, do you believe that man? The man says, I did all the commandments from my childhood. And what is lacking in me means I'm perfect. I didn't do anything wrong. What the Bible says? Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 19.
For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God.
See, the law made nothing perfect. Now he said, I obeyed the law from my childhood. Jesus Christ would have simply said, sir, that law will not make you perfect. Not a single person obeying the law, just the obeying all 10 commandments, if the man could go to heaven, then Jesus Christ doesn't have to come. Why did he come?
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.